Blog Talk Radio.
Craziness is just, it's a lot to deal with, isn't it? I'm getting myself together over here. Give me 2 seconds. Want to get my phone put up properly so I can speak freely and get it in. Thank you for joining me. I am your host, Queen Amina, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Black Alice. In we are in Leo season. Happy birthday to all the Leos. Happy birthday to all the Leos out there. You know your struggle is to definitely find your courage and know how to master your emotions. So I wish all the Leos happy birthday. So much is going on, and we are entering into Virgo season. Virgo, the most critical sign of the zodiac. Lord, I love a Virgo. My rising is Virgo. My beloved mother was a Virgo. My husband is a Virgo. Virgos can be a lot to deal with. They have a certain level of tenacity, but they also have a highly critical sense about them. And so their task in this experience that we call life under that zodiac is to learn how to not be so critical, learn how to objectify and look at themselves clearly, which is what the virgin in the water or looking in the water at her reflection represents. So, you know, love to all the Virgos. You know, it takes a special person to be with Virgos. they're a special bunch, but, you know, you got to love them. You got to love them. So happy birthday to all the wonderful Virgos out there, which does include my beloved husband, my mom, a few of my dearest friends. You know, Virgo, y'all special, but, you know, you're beautiful people. And, you know, every single zodiac has its tasks to bear. You know, I'm an Aries, and so I have to make sure that I am being a little bit more calculating in how I move, because, you know, we move real quick. Aries, we move real fast. And we also want to make sure we don't burn bridges, burn the house down, you know, burn things up, because, you know, we're fire. We are the primary number one zodiac. We are ruled by our head, and so we're quick thinking. And, you know, we're eccentric and colorful and expressive. We can be emotional. I don't know a zodiac that's not really emotional. I think we're all emotional. My husband and I were having that conversation earlier about humans and humanity, and that all of us are emotional creatures. We all experience everything from happiness to sadness to joy to pain to whatever. We cover the gamut when it comes to emotion, and it is everyone's task and duty to learn how to master emotions. That is a serious task that every human must undergo. We must shoot for that. We need to really, really learn how to master our emotions. So someone like myself, I'm jovial. I wake up happy. You have to tick me off. You have to do something to make me get upset. And even in that, I still have to learn how to master my emotions. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. But that is one of the tasks that we all have to deal with as humans. And I don't really believe that any particular gender is more emotional than the other. I know, you know, people say women are very emotional. Yeah, you know, we got a lot to deal with. But at the same time, men are very emotional too, and men can be very sentimental. You know, men can see images and or listen to a song or see a movie and, you know, begin to cry, and there's nothing wrong with that. Again, we are all emotional beings. The Almighty Most High created us this way so that we can experience these emotions, but also so that we can learn to control them, okay? So, no, you don't want to be a crybaby, meaning that you cry over everything or you cry every single time someone bothers you or whatever. No, you want to learn how to master that. It's not easy with people that you love and people that you let into your heart and into your being, because when you let someone into you and they hurt you, it cuts a little bit deeper than, let's say, a stranger at the supermarket who does something stupid and ticks you off. Whatever, you can blow that off. But generally, when it's a loved one, it's very difficult to just let it go. I think that people who just let it go, maybe you didn't really care in the first place, because if someone that you love hurts you, yeah, it's going to affect your mood. It's going to affect how you move and do. It's going to definitely get in there, so to speak. So, you know, just a reminder to us as beautiful, wonderful human beings, we must be careful with our words. We must be careful with our actions. We must continue to learn how to master our emotions. I am included in this bunch. Please do not think I'm sitting up on some throne talking about, oh, you need it. No, no, no. I'm in the bunch, bro. I'm there. But at the same time, I do recognize when things happen. And so I'm not one to give that type of power to a stranger necessarily. You're not really going to find me having arguments with strangers in the street or something. No, I'm not. If I'm driving on the highway and I get cut off, whatever, that's your business. Maybe you're in a hurry. Maybe you got to go to the bathroom. I don't know. But I'm not taking it personally. you know, I'm going to do what I need to do to get to my destination. Some of us don't have that. Some of us get irate. Some of us create road rage and shoot people and do stupid things on the highway. Like, come on, if that's the case, then don't drive. How about that? If that's the case, take an Uber. If that's the case, get a driver into such an uproar that you commit, an egregious offense against someone. You don't want to do that. So I just wanted to, you know, mention that quickly. It came to me. It wasn't necessarily in my notes for today. But, you know, I do recognize that I am a vessel. I allow the Most High to speak through me to the best of my ability. And I try to stay in a state of grace and peace and patience so that I can receive positive information to share with whomever, whether it's a family member, a friend, my beloved husband, our children, grandchildren, whomever. I try to keep myself at a really even keel, if you will, so that I can receive information. I can also access information, and I can love and help people in my world and people in my community and people around the world in general. You know, this summer, I know I haven't been on a lot, primarily because I wanted to enjoy my summer. I did reiterate in my breakdown in tonight's show that it takes a lot of energy and effort and time to put together one episode of this show, okay? I don't have a staff. I don't have a crew. It is just me, myself, and I. It's just me. So it takes a lot of time, and I don't mind during the fall and winter months when I'm not really wanting to be outside or, you know, go to the park or go up on top of the mountain or even sit outside in my backyard and just meditate. But I decided this year that I wanted to enjoy my summer with my husband. We had a lot of endeavors. We had a lot of events that we did. And it just becomes too much to juggle between work and trying to produce this show. And I am a summer child. I'm born in the spring, but I love the sun and I love summertime. And I love to just be able to go outside and sit and listen to nature, listen to the birds and listen to everything going on outside. I'm very grateful that we live in a paradise. We live in a place where nature is abundant and peace is all around us all the time. And I don't hear sirens. I don't hear gunshots. I don't hear arguments. I don't hear anything except birds and some crickets, okay? So I love that. And I think it's important that we learn how to connect to nature. What bothers me sometimes about religions and the church to a certain extent is that they remove nature from God. And the Most High is nature. The Most High created nature. We are nature. We are an expression of nature. And it bothers me when I find that separation. You know, I'm not one to subscribe to allopathic medicine. I'm not one to get prescriptions and have all kinds of drugs inside of my body. You know, we eat well here. I'm very proud of my husband and myself. You know, we eat our vegetables and we eat fruit. I started making this green juice for the last few weeks. I do notice a difference in my body. I like the difference. I am juicing cucumbers, parsley, ginger, and lemon. Sometimes I add a little pineapple. It depends. But it tastes good. It's a very clean and refreshing drink. You're supposed to drink it every morning when you wake up and at night before you go to bed. It helps with your digestive system. It helps you get rid of excess fecal matter. You know, a lot of us, pardon my expression, are full of shit. It's interesting when I talk to different friends and other family members, if you're having issues with going to the bathroom for number two specifically, You know, you definitely need more fiber in you. Apples are the highest form of soluble fiber. Eating grapes is also very good for you. Cherries, all the beautiful green vegetables, collard greens, kale, mustard greens, you know, even the better lettuces, not necessarily iceberg, but spring greens and Boston lettuce and different types of lettuce. Very, very good for us. You know, we are symbiotic with nature. We are not symbiotic with fake food or drugs. We are not symbiotic. And that is why you have all these different side effects as a result of these different medications. You know, this is not a good thing. We are moving into a direction where more and more children even have type 2 diabetes and cancer. And a lot more adults are being diagnosed with cancer as a result of what we're eating. You know, sometimes, yes, it is our environment. You know, if you're living in the city and you're living where there are higher carbon emissions and all these different chemicals and smokestacks and what have you, you know, parts of New Jersey near the oil refineries and things like that. Yeah, that's not healthy either. But even if you're living in the forest like we are, if I'm eating garbage, I cannot expect my body to not only metabolize it and use it as energy, but I'm not going to be able to break it down, okay? And so what's happening to us is that we're eating chemicals, okay? There are a lot of wonderful health gurus. I call them gurus respectfully. Instagram and Facebook. I'm not on Facebook that much because it's too personal and I really don't care about what you had for breakfast. But on Instagram, I find there are a lot more health gurus and they're sharing these recipes and you can even consult with them if you have a serious issue. Big shout out to Empress Wu, you know, doing her thing with an amazing cookbook. You know, thank you again, Sister Erin, for sharing that with me. I look forward to receiving my copy. I definitely want to get one. But, you know, she's a vegan chef and a holistic practitioner, and she and her mate are doing wonderful things for not only our community as melanin-dominant people, but any human being, because, again, we all eat. And so as we move further into these chemicals that they're disguising as food, okay, number one alert I want to share, the whole plant-based movement is dangerous. Now, if you want to eat plants yourself, that's great, but plant-based meat has toxic chemicals in it. Did we know that? No. Does the name sound like it could be harmful to me? No. It sounds like I'd be getting back to nature, and I'm eating something that's and full of plants. No, it's not. Okay, even Beyond Meat has been written up, okay, toxic chemicals in Beyond Meat. I'm still looking into Impossible at this time, Impossible Meat, Impossible Burgers, blah, blah, blah. But I know that Beyond Meat, no bueno. So we have to be careful because they're baiting us with these terms that seem like these foods are healthy and they're all right for us to eat, and they're not. They are not. So much of our food is like Frankenstein food. It's dangerous. You know, when you're giving your children Pop-Tarts and Cocoa Puffs and Fruity Pebbles and Lucky Charms for breakfast, they're eating dyes, D-Y-E, dyes, and all these chemicals. On the difference, I knew this before, I've spoken on this on my show in previous years, but if you're new to me, welcome. It is amazing to me how Europe has a completely different list of ingredients in specific products that are in common with the United States. So let's say Heinz ketchup. Heinz ketchup here has a million damn chemicals in it. Heinz ketchup for Europe does not. Frosted flakes or corn flakes, all these chemicals here, okay? Again, as Empress Wu stated, if the ingredients, your package of whatever the heck you just bought, has over 10 to 12 things in it, don't eat it. Because the majority of the stuff in it is not natural. And again, we are living nature. We must eat things that are symbiotic with our being, with our digestive system, with our blood circulation, all these types of things. So I know that a lot of us were raised on garbage, okay? I used to eat pork. I no longer eat pork. I stopped eating pork while I was in college when I was 20. Pork is not good for you. You should not be eating pigs. Okay? You should not be eating hogs. You shouldn't be eating pig feet, hog maw, snout, tails, ears, tongues, intestines, ribs, butt, anything. You should not eat any pork at all. And it's interesting because some of the people that I know that eat pork, their attitude is indicative of that. Meaning that their aura is not a harmonious aura. It's not a loving, light type of aura. Sometimes I find a lot of people that eat pork talk a lot of shit. Pardon my expression. A lot of people that I know that eat pork have very interesting dispositions. They can even have and being negative, always having something to complain about all the time. So, you know that old adage, you are what you eat. That is real. And I am not sitting here like Little Miss Perfection. Okay, I still eat chicken and turkey. I'm trying to wean myself off of that. I haven't had red meat since May. I'm very proud of that. I can notice the difference in my body, and I notice the difference when I go to the bathroom. Real talk. I even notice the difference in the smell. Hello. So, we got to be careful, okay? My husband has made baked chicken with vegetables and baked potatoes and everything last night. And I came downstairs at maybe like about 12, 20. And, you know, he's like, have some. And I'm like, I can't eat that this late. He has a different metabolism than I do. My husband's metabolism is like lightning. It's very, very fast. Mine is a little bit more lethargic. So I can't be eating a whole meal at 12 o'clock at night. That's how you gain weight. Not only that, I know it's very dangerous to eat a lot before you go to sleep because you're putting too much pressure on your body to break it down when you're in a state of rest. And when you're in a state of rest, that is when your body repairs itself. It's very difficult for the body to repair itself when it's in motion. This is why we need to sleep. Sleep is very, very important, okay? Sleep helps to regulate all of the different systems in your body, not just your circadian rhythm, which is, you know, dealing with daylight and nighttime and stuff, but everything going on inside of your body. Your body goes to work when you're at rest. So be careful. Don't be one. This is why I remember when I used to work at night and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. It threw my body off. It threw even my outlook off because I was sleeping all day and working all night. Not a good thing. Some people can do it pretty well because they get used to it. But you can get used to a lot of stuff just because you're used to it doesn't mean it's good for you. Okay? So be very careful. You know, your body is a temple. It's a wonderful, amazing machine that was created in a divine way. And there are certain modalities and mechanisms and powers that be that are really going against that. They really want you to be sick. They make money off of you being sick. So just be careful. If you're one who is a little sickly and you have more than 3 to 5 prescriptions, you may want to look into homeopathic remedies. I'm very, very serious. Your body is not meant to take in all these different pharmaceutical drugs with a million damn side effects. It wasn't made to do that. Your remedy is in the earth. Your remedy is growing in the ground. Your remedy is not made in a lab. I'm so, so serious. We've got to be careful because you got people dressed in white coats that tell you, oh, just take this 3 times a day. Oh, just take this 2x a day. Oh, get an injection for this. Oh, get an injection for that. Oh, get a patch for this. No. No, 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 no. If you want to quit smoking, damn it, stop smoking. Meditate, trick your mind so that your mind will decrease the receptors in your hypothalamus gland to make you want to smoke cigarettes. You are the one that has, and you use your mind to control that. Your brain is awesome. Your brain is the most magnificent computer ever, ever made. So you should be the one programming it to ensure that your body reacts in the best way to whatever you're putting into it. You know, I'm big on salads. I'm big on fruit salads. You know, just say, like, a lot of my snacks are fruit. I like to eat cherries. You know, my husband loves grapes. We like peaches and grapefruit and oranges and apples and pineapple. Yeah. And be careful when you are buying seedless things. Please try to go out of your way to go to the farmer's market. Those of you in Essex County, New Jersey, you can go see the Watermelon Man. Trust me, the Watermelon Man is bringing up those watermelons from Virginia with seeds in them. Very, very good for you. Seedless is the devil. I'm sorry. I don't even like seedless grapes. Seedless watermelon? Lord Jesus. Seedless watermelon is terrible. That is a horrible idea. Okay? All these little, it's funny. Even the little seedless tangerines, and they have the name to call them halos, like they're angelic in some type of way. No, seedless is the devil. They're taking seeds out of fruit and vegetables, but yet Bill Gates wants to own all the seeds. There's a huge seed bank in Norway. For what? Why can't we have the seeds? What is really going on here? Oh, it's nefarious. It's nefarious. Everything I just said was really off the top of my dome. You know, some of the stuff came in for me to talk about, and I wanted to share it with you because I see what's happening. You know, we got childhood obesity. You know, some people have children bigger than them. That's not good. Your child can possibly die soon because they're putting too much pressure on their heart. You know how much pressure your heart is under when you're obese? Real talk. And I used to be a fat girl, okay? I am not one just spouting stuff out. I used to be very heavy. I used to be over 220 pounds. My father took my face in his hands and he looked at me in my eyes with tears and was like, baby, please, I need you to do something about your weight. I do not want you to die young, and I don't want you to die like my mother, because his mother was nice and chunky and round, and she died of diabetes. So please do your best. Do your best to take care of your temple. Do your best to love on some of you. Love yourself. If you need to look in the mirror every day and begin to say, I love you to yourself, do that. There is nothing wrong with affirming how much you love yourself. Sometimes you can do it mentally. Some of us need to do it verbally because we haven't even heard it from other people. It's okay to say, I love you to yourself. And it's okay to say, I love you to your spouse, to your children, to your friends. It's okay to say, I love you. It's the most powerful vibration in the universe. But if you look at television and you look at programming, everything is evil and wicked and nasty. There are very few sunshine and daisy type of programming in television these days. The children are being programmed to be brats and assholes, and the adults are being programmed to love the devil. This is a movement. You've got to be careful what you attach your energy to? Real talk. Energy is everything. Everything is energy. Me, you, the table, the computer, the phone, everything is energy. So make sure your energy is high. You're vibrating at a high level. Be careful. And for those of you, especially Cancers and Cancer rising, you must make sure that you do not allow the energies of the forces governing the moon every single day. When those forces are negative or complaining and bitchy and antagonizing, you got to fight that. You got to fight that. Because if you don't have control over it, it's just going to come out of you and you're going to put it onto someone else. And you don't really realize that that's what you're doing. But because Cancer is ruled by the moon and the moon is in a different zodiac damn near every day, your energy moves with that. So you all have a very high task, very, very high task to learn how to master yourself. Because when the moon is in Mars, y'all could be fierce. But if the moon is in Jupiter, oh, y'all are so sharing and cute. If the moon is in Capricorn, oh, you're real disciplined and strict. You know, if the moon is in Taurus, oh, you want a little luxury and you want to feel valued. Like, you literally move with the moon. So be mindful of that, Cancerians. Be mindful of that, Cancer rising. Be mindful of that. Because sometimes that cocktail is toxic. And you feed your poison to other people. And you don't realize how much those other people are affected by your energy, your vibe, your words. It's interesting. My beautiful stepson, oldest one, he's married. And he told a story. It's like a fable about a man who was so angry all the time, he took it out on everybody around him. So he went to an elder or a priest or someone, and they told him, every time you get angry, hammer a nail into a board. Get a separate board and hammer a nail. Hammer away at that nail into that board every time you're upset. And so he did this. He did it over and over and over again. So into trying not to put his anger on other people, he would bang this nail into this board. Bang, 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 bang. So finally, when he, you know, eventually learned how to get over some of his emotions and what have you, the elder or priest says to him, okay, take all the nails out of the board. And he's like, okay. And so he takes all the nails out of the board. The moral to the story is that although he took all the nails out of the board was left with holes in it. Meaning that when you displace your anger onto someone else or something else, just because you got over it doesn't mean you didn't do damage. Doesn't mean you didn't poke holes in somebody. This is why we really have to be careful with our tongue. Mama always said, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, shut your ass up. Because the things that we can say to each other can be so poisoning and so toxic and so hurtful. You can kill someone with your words, especially if they love you, okay? That is real. Think about the man with the nails and the board and the fact that he removed all the nails, but the holes were still in the board. So the real, real moral of the story is don't displace your anger onto anything or anyone else. You deal with it yourself. You learn how to process it. You learn how to move through it. Push it down. But don't share it with everybody. because you do damage to people when you do. Real talk. I'm hoping y'all hear me. I'm hoping y'all are feeling what I'm saying. I know you've been there even in your own self. Some of y'all have parents who talk to you like shit, and so y'all pass that on. Some of you have parents that weren't like that. And so when someone shares that type of energy with you, it's toxic. It's poisonous. It hurts. So we must learn again to master our emotions. We must learn, especially in adversity, especially when we're very, very angry, we're very, very upset. We must learn how to process that energy so that it does not become toxic or harmful for anyone else. Sometimes, you know, people get into a mood. You know, I'm not moody. I'm good with that. I learned how to really check myself. Like I said, you got to pull me out of myself to piss me off. And even then, I need to learn how to deal with my and learn how to be more responsive. Because when we react, we're basically just bringing up another a behavior that we've already enacted, and we're applying it to that particular situation. But it doesn't mean that it really equates with that situation. That's just something we're doing. So we have to learn how to respond to situations. And as I said before, sometimes we just need to shut the hell up before we want to do whoever. We got to learn how to hold it and process it and push it away. Like we used to say, blow that shit out. Blow it out. Blow it away from you. Take your breath. Process inside. Count to whatever you need to count to before you hurt somebody else. So here we go. Off the cuff, the 2023 World Championships have been absolutely awesome, especially when it comes to track and field. And gymnastics, baby, we've been whooping tail. Track star Sha'Carri Richardson has won her first gold medal in the women's 100 meter. She won another gold medal for the women's 4x100 meter team relay and a bronze medal for the women's 200 meter. She has been absolutely incredible to watch. Absolutely. Okay, this is the first time also in a real long time that the American team has beaten the Jamaican team in women's track since around 2016. Seriously. According to Olympics.com, Sha'Carri Richardson rewrote the championship's record books in the women's 100-meter final to take the crown in the 10.65 seconds for her first ever international title before adding 200-meter bronze, and 4x100-meter gold. Sha'Carri said, dreams like this come true. I'm just glad that I was able to be here for my first world championship and to do the things I've been working on all season. Okay, she's been doing her thing. I watched her in press conferences. She's such a cute little neophyte. You know, she's new. Even when she received her gold medal, you know, she's not really aware of how the process works. But I loved watching the innocence in her and how she was just genuinely filled with joy and glee. And, you know, her mother was there. And even after she won her race, you see her walking with the American flag on her back. And she's like, where's my mama? Oh, my God. And then when she finally found her mother, it was just the most beautiful embrace. She put the gold medal around her mother's neck. It was just so, so beautiful. And even in the 100-meter final, she beat out two famous Jamaican runners, okay? She beat out Sharika Jackson, and she beat out Shelly Ann Price. Baby, these women have been holding the gold medals for years, okay? The Jamaicans, as we very well know, have been a force to be reckoned with on both the female and the male team, especially the male team with Usain Bolt. So it was wonderful to see the camaraderie and skill of the American women's team. Even in the relay, they were fierce in the relay. I'm serious. They were awesome. Even in the mixed relays, which is a new thing, where they have men and women in the relay competing against each other. You know, each country gets their four runners in the relay. And the Americans took that too. Oh, my goodness. It was beautiful to see. Absolutely beautiful. Also, the incomparable Simone Biles is not only back, but Boo Boo done won all gold medals in the 2023 Gymnastics World Championships. She is 26 years old now. She is married to a very handsome football player who plays for the Green Bay Packers. And Simone is also the oldest woman to compete. And she's the only athlete, male or female, in history to receive 8 gold medals in one competition. Talk about the GOAT. I love watching her. She is flawless. Flawless. Sometimes I wish if I had her to see when I was a little girl instead of Nadia Comaneci. No offense to Nadia Comaneci, but if I had seen young black women in gymnastics competitions when I was a young girl, maybe I would have done some other things with myself. I mean, I was a dancer, but my gosh, the way they make it look. And another tidbit, there are more women, melanated women, in the American American gymnastics team than I've ever seen before in my life. Okay? They are fierce. It's a beautiful thing to see. It was also beautiful, even in track and field, to see a lot of melanin-dominant people that ran for countries that you don't connect melanin-dominant people with. Okay? Hungary, Germany, the Netherlands, of course, Cuba, Puerto Rico, they have melanin-dominant competitors. The winner of the triple jump is an all-time winner. She is a melanin-dominant Venezuelan woman. She's about 6'3", 6'4". Oh, my goodness. She's fierce. Okay? Then you have the high jump, the long jump, where you have a lot of melanin-dominant women. I was very, very impressed. Even the heptathlon, you know, the Americans came in second in the heptathlon for women. It was heavy. I'm looking at all of these beautiful women with my complexion or darker, okay, slaying the field. I've watched the Olympics and World Championships since I was a child. Back in the day, you didn't see that. Back in the day, the German team was white. Back in the day, the Belgian team was white. Back in the day, the Hungarian team from Budapest, white. Everybody was white. Even America, you know, we only had a few melanin-dominant runners. When Carl Lewis won, they were like, oh, my God. You know, like we'd be sprinkled in there. But now there's a lot of predominance of melanin-dominant people competing, and I think that's a beautiful thing to see because our skill, how we do it, I mean, everyone's doing it. Everyone's running. Everyone's jumping. Everyone's doing gymnastics and slipping. Everybody's doing something. But how we do it is flawless. How we do it, it makes it look like it's easy. Okay, ain't nobody huffing and puffing and having a hard time. Everybody's just going. Even in the gymnastics competitions, and they're on uneven bars, these young girls are making it look like, oh, this is no big deal. It's just beautiful to see. If you get an opportunity, because I think they're over now, but if you get an opportunity, just look at them on YouTube, okay? And definitely check out the 100-meter race that Sha'Carri Richardson won, because that was a hell of a race. Okay, she was in lane 9. And she beat out Shelly-Ann Frazier and Sharika Jackson. That has never been done before, and this was her first world championship. She rocked it. So I'm very, very proud. I love when we can take a setback and turn it into an advancement. You know, Sha'Carri was definitely looked down upon a couple of years ago with the whole testing positive for marijuana and what have you, like that was some kind of sin. She was like, I'm not going to be beat and I'm not going to stay down. I am coming back with a vengeance. And she did. And I'm very proud of her because she shows what happens when you don't give up. Same with Simone. You know, we know that Simone Biles had issues after the Tokyo, during the Tokyo Olympics. And she was like, you know what? I don't need this. I'm going to put my sweatsuit on and I'm just going to root for the team. And of course they lost, but she was receiving a lot of pressure and she didn't like how she felt. And when she became disoriented during one of her flips, I think it was a vault, she was like, okay, let me calm down. And she took a break. And she took a wonderful break. In that break, she got married, okay? She did her thing. But, like, I continue to say, don't ever let anybody pressure you into doing something that you may not feel ready for. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do something that you know you really can do and that you really desire to do. The human will is very, very strong, and it depends on the individual as to how they utilize their will. So these two amazing, beautiful, melanated sisters are proof in the pudding about what you do when you want, you have control of your life. So I just love what they're doing. I really do. Look it up when you get an opportunity. Check out Simone Biles. Boo Boo is just amazing. And check out Sha'Carri Richardson and the whole women's team in general because they were fierce. They were fierce and fantastic. All right. Moving on. Earlier today, the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill was on lockdown due to a shooter reported on the campus. According to AOL News, a professor had been shot and killed, and the shooter was at large for several hours. Students and faculty had been sheltering in place inside of classrooms, libraries, dorms, and other buildings. I saw one report talking about how the students were actually urinating in classrooms because they were afraid to go to the bathroom. It was definitely a very heated situation. Thus far, the picture of an Asian student has been put up on the news, and apparently they said they found the assailant. It's interesting because authorities say that he had access to a lab facility, but much is still unclear. Now, on the other side, what I find interesting is that the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill is also noted for conducting gain-of-function research on coronavirus. And then they transferred the virus to the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. And this was all done under the authority of Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the former director of the NIAID, which is the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. So I found that to be interesting when they said that he had gained access to a lab, in a lab at the North Carolina Chapel Hill campus, that gain of function was actually done on coronavirus, which is what many people are dealing with right now. You know, it's become a common word in our everyday lives, and I think it's interesting that this happened. Again, they're not going to tell you that on the news, okay? I'm aware of this because of the work of Dr. Judy Mikovits. She and Dr. John Heckenlively wrote a book called Plague of Corruption, which I do have in my library. And I have watched countless interviews with her where she spoke about how Fauci had her arrested because she would not give them her report analysis on the AIDS virus when HIV came out. And she had learned that AIDS doesn't happen unless you have some type of a booster. Okay, AIDS didn't just happen. HIV has been around for a very long time, okay, a human immunodeficiency disease. But HIV turned into AIDS when they administered AZT to the patients. And Dr. Fauci was under the team that helped to create and administer and distribute AZT to AIDS patients. So it's very interesting. You know, I try to give y'all tidbits and things so you can go and do your own research. But, you know, most things are not what they seem when we learn about them or they come across the media. The media is not going to delve into what's really happening behind closed doors. You know, they are beholden to other individuals who control the purse of who's getting what, where, when, and how. So, you know, it's interesting. I was even watching Reuters News yesterday, and they were saying something that sounded stupid, too. And I was like, I don't know why I'm surprised, because I know that Reuters and AP are all owned by the cabal that owns everything. Everything. So it's not really far-fetched. It's very interesting that this young Asian student broke into a lab at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. That's just very interesting to me. So here we go. I'm going to give you the AP version. AP News says, a University of North Carolina faculty member was shot and killed in a campus building, officials say Monday. A suspect was arrested around an hour and a half after shots were reported. UNC Police Chief Brian James said at a news conference, students and faculty at the flagship campus had been barricaded in dorms and offices and classrooms for hours until a lockdown was lifted. Quote, this loss is devastating and the shooting damages the trust and safety that we so often take for granted on our campus community, end quote, UNC Chapel Hill Chancellor Kevin Guskovitz stated. He apologized to students who are, quote, feeling uncertain about your safety right now, end quote. Authorities are not releasing the suspect's name, and formal charges have not yet been filed. It is unclear if the suspect knew the victim, who police have not yet named as well, while they reach out to relatives, James said. The shooting was in Cowdill Laboratories, which is closed while evidence is processed, James said. He said a motive isn't known and the weapon has not yet been found. Emergency sirens sounded about 2 minutes after a 911 call came in reporting shots fired, James said. There were no other deaths or injuries. About 3 hours after warning students to seek shelter indoors and avoid windows, the school posted on X, the formerly known as Twitter, quote, all clear, resume normal activities, end quote. The school's first alert was sent out just after 1 p.m. At 1:50 p.m., officials posted on X that a shelter-in-place order remained in effect and that it was an ongoing situation. About 40 minutes later, the school added a post saying, quote, remain sheltered in place. This is an ongoing situation. Suspect at large, end quote. About 2 hours after the first alert went out, officers were still arriving in droves with about 50 police vehicles at the scene and multiple helicopters circling over the school. One officer admonished two people who tried to exit the student center, yelling, quote, inside now. Later, law enforcement escorted a group of students out of one of the science buildings with everyone walking in an orderly line with their hands up. Shortly before 4 p.m., now I don't know why they got their hands up if they got a picture to tell. Anyway, sorry. But shortly before 4 p.m., students and faculty started emerging from campus buildings with the lockdown being over. The report of the shooting and the subsequent lockdown paralyzed campus and parts of the surrounding town of Chapel Hill, just a week after classes began at the state's flagship public university. The university, with about 20,000 undergraduate students and 12,000 graduate students, canceled Tuesday's classes. So that was the AP article. I still find it interesting that you had students being escorted out of one of the science buildings with their hands up when you already had a picture of the assailant. According to another news outlet, the assailant was a student at the school. He probably knew the professor that was shot and killed. I don't know why they're not making that connection, but we'll see what happens as time goes on with regard to this investigation. But like I said, I just found it interesting. The hair went up on the back of my neck because an Asian student broke into a science lab, and I knew that it was in the science lab at the North Carolina University of Chapel Hill where coronavirus gain-of-function studies were done. And I'm leaving it right there. Y'all can take that where you want, all right? Moving forward, on Friday night, at a football game in Choctaw, Oklahoma, a gunman opened fire on the field, killing one 16-year-old student. I am still gathering information on this. This has been kind of quiet for some strange reason. Of course, you know, what happened the next day is what kind of overshadowed what happened on Friday, but I'm like opening fire on a high school football game. Like, what is going on? And I need to really get a grasp of the mental capacity and the mental state of folks are really losing it. Okay. I don't know if it was a student that opened fire. I don't know if it was an adult. We don't have that information. We should, but we don't. Why? Because on Saturday, a young Caucasian male filled with hate and obvious confusion entered a Dollar General store in Jacksonville, Florida, and killed three melanin-dominant people, two men and one woman. The boy drove from nearby Clay County just to kill random melanated people. Now, he's a pudgy-looking white boy who seemed to have very effeminate features. This is my opinion, but I saw the picture. I'm like, was he a girl? And he became a boy? Like, I don't know, because his face is very effeminate. It's just that he has facial hair. And we know that they have drugs that help women change their voice. They get testosterone shots. They grow facial hair, blah, blah, blah. So that was just me. I see things differently. Nonetheless, why he chose to kill innocent people, we don't know. We know, okay, he doesn't like people of color. He has an issue with black folks. I'm like, maybe he was just confused about his sexuality and he's upset. If it wasn't for several students who were on the campus of Edward Waters University, which is a predominantly African-American university in Jacksonville, things probably would have been much worse. Dr. Faison, the university president, gave a in-depth press heralding these students and the heroic campus security and safety officer, Lieutenant Antonio Bailey. The students were the first to see the shooter when he drove onto campus a little erratically, and he was in a parking lot. He got out the car and began putting on gloves and tactical gear. So, of course, they found this to be quite suspicious, and they alerted campus security of what they had seen. The security officer, Lieutenant Bailey, made it his business to then alert the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office about this potential threat, and then he followed the assailant for a while until Jacksonville police were dispatched. They dispatched cruisers to search for the vehicle that the assailant was driving, and it did not take a very long time to catch up with him at the Dollar General store. He was cornered, actually, by Jacksonville police officers, and he then turned his gun on himself and killed himself. This is quite cowardly. I'm sorry, but it doesn't take guts to do that. If you're a punk and you're a coward. The assailant was armed with both a Glock and an AR-15. Of course, like many, he had to write a damn manifesto where he stated that he, quote, hated niggas, end quote. I'm like, really? This is beginning to really get out of control. I mean, it's been out of control for a while. We know what happened at the Top supermarket in Buffalo. We know what happened at the church in North Carolina. We know of so many different instances throughout the course of history, especially modern history, where melanin-dominant people have been attacked or murdered just because they're melanin dominant. Even a case, I haven't seen it come up on television yet, but there's a case of a high school student in Austin, Texas, who was found hung in a tree near the high school campus. It's 2023. This young girl was hung. I'm truly praying that surveillance cameras in the area would have seen something. I'm hoping that no one has messed with this footage or attempted to steal or erase it. But I'm hoping that there is surveillance video that will shed light on this most horrific event. You know, white terrorism seems to be on the rise, and I am partially blaming former President Donald Trump, which had 4 years plus two to turn up the heat. His mouth is reckless. He has stated things that have gotten the alt-right, especially right-wing, crazy nationalist people to turn up and have reason to harm or kill melanated people. And now we have this vicious candidate for presidency for 2024, running for 2024, Vivek Ramaswamy, who does not want to see color, who does not want to acknowledge anyone's color. Meanwhile, he's quite brown. Anyway, he actually called Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, you know, the sister from Massachusetts, a member of the KKK. I'm like, that's a first for me. I don't know, maybe he got a different idea when he saw the Black Klansman movie. I don't know. But recently in Pella, Iowa, Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy last Friday called Democratic Representative Ayanna Pressley and author Ibram Kendi, quote, modern grand wizards of the modern KKK, end quote, at a campaign appearance in Iowa. What? It came in response to a voter question asking Ramaswamy, whose parents immigrated to the U.S. from India, if critics would blame him for white supremacy or call him a part of white supremacy. See, this is how they deflect. So he's talking to reporters after the town hall, and he doubled down on his comments. He says, other on the basis of our genetic attributes is something that would make old wizards of the KKK proud. When pressed by NBC News on whether he was calling Pressley and Kendi grand wizards of the KKK, Ramaswamy said, quote, it's what the whole movement represented. It's what would make the grand wizards of the KKK proud. It's not the first time that the entrepreneur-turned-presidential candidate has made incendiary comments on race during the campaign. So at this town hall in Vail, Iowa, August 6th, he also called Juneteenth a useless holiday, as the day marks the end of slavery. But he calls it a useless holiday. So Ramaswamy responded by saying, Ayanna Pressley, she's in the Congress today. She's a member of the squad. Her words, not mine, quote, we don't want any more black faces that don't want to be a black voice. We don't want any more brown faces that don't want to be a brown voice. Now, I'm taking a tangent off of this. I don't see anything wrong with that. I understand what she's saying because, again, we have this conversation all the time. I was on a super dope live last night with We Are More Than Black. We Are More Than Black, and more is spelled M-O-O-R. On Instagram, and the brother was talking about, you know, asking questions about economic empowerment and representation in politics and what have you. And so most of us were also stating that, okay, if there are specific melanin-dominant politicians that come out and their sole goal is for melanin-dominant people they're not going to win the vote. And if they do and they try to flex and do those types of, they might get killed. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it, but I do think that we need to be responsible and we need to be aware of not only the track record that America has towards black folk trying to gather and strengthen and empower other black folk, but real talk, you know, people talk about former President Barack Obama. I know he did a lot of dirt under his term, but at the same time, if Barack Obama came out and said, I should say former President Barack Obama, excuse me, said that we need to do this for black people and we need to do that for black people and we need to do this for the African-American community and da-da-da, he'd have been shot and or removed because we live under a white supremacist society. We need to change it. We know that. Again, as we melanin-dominant people educate ourselves, become more knowledgeable about civics, politics, what's going on, our true history, who we really are, not just through slavery, but before slavery, you know, the excellence, the being the beautiful original children of the Most High, being the original human being on this planet, you know, if we can rally around some of that, that would be beautiful. And please don't get me wrong, but if we could rally around that and not throw Jesus in the mix every time, that could also be quite helpful. I'm not angry at Jesus. I'm just saying we got to move forward as a collective. Collectively, we are a lot of different things, okay? All melanin-dominant people and all quote-unquote African-American people are not Christian people, okay? We're Muslims. We're Buddhist. We're Taoist. We're spiritualists. Some of us are just into nature. We're not all under the realm of Christianity. So it bothers me when I hear politicians push Jesus because I'm like, you're alienating a whole bunch of other people. You're not giving a whole lot of other people a voice. We have more in common with our flesh and our DNA than we do with religion. And I always was raised to believe that America is supposed to be a country where there is a separation of church and state. Yet, we know that's contradictory because when you go into a courtroom, over the judge's head, above his or her bench, it says, "In God we trust." Okay, on our money, it says in God we trust. So that's always been interesting to me. But I know we're supposed to be a country and a nation where there's a separation of church and state. Because if everybody was supposed to be Christian, then our beautiful sister Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who is Islamic, would not be in her position. As I go back, so Ramaswamy is something else. I really, really do not care for this one right here. I watched him in the debates. I'm going to get to that later. But, oh, my goodness, he's off. He is off. He is wrong, incorrect, and off. And he says such visceral comments that he definitely doesn't deserve to not only run for president, okay, but he doesn't deserve to be president because he does not represent the people of this nation on a whole at all, at all. I just think it's very interesting that he wants to come for Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley and author Dr. Kendi. This is heavy. All right. So Pressley of Massachusetts is a prominent progressive voice among House Democrats. She's also the first black woman elected to Congress from Massachusetts. We know all about Massachusetts, Boston, so on and so forth, right? We know. The Congresswoman appeared on MSNBC last Sunday responding to the comments made by Ramaswamy. She says, quote, "The verbal assault lobbied against myself and Dr. Kendi is shameful. It is deeply offensive, and it is dangerous." and she is on point. As I said, I'm going to get to the poor excuse for a GOP debate later on, but I am really over and done with this little scrawny Indian boy with a receding hairline whose nose is so far up Donald Trump's behind that he smells like a cast member of Slumdog Millionaire. As brown as he is, although I know about the caste system, India, alive and well today, but I'm like, boo-boo, you darker than me. I'm like, he could be a Dalit or an untouchable. Now, in other press conferences and different things, he stated that he comes from a higher caste in India. But is this really true? Because if it was all that good, what'd you come over here for? Because the caste system, the high caste system in India, they're wealthy. So what'd you come over here for? I'm just saying, if it was all that groovy, why did your parents decide to come to America? If y'all are such a high caste system and it was that fly for you in India, what'd you bring your ass over here for? Anyway, you know, it just made me wonder, is this even true? I'm a very, very low caste. And your people just got out. Are you masquerading? You know, who really knows? But I really can't with him. He is a disgrace to any candidate running for president. He's a disgrace. Moving forward. By now, I'm sure we are all well aware of the horrible fires that swept through the city of Lahaina in Maui, Hawaii. There are a lot of questions and concerns that are surrounding the event. What actually happened is really a bit of a mystery. People don't really understand just what happened. Okay, they were supposed to be having a hurricane. Next thing you know, everything is catching on fire. The winds were blowing. The winds were so high that it just blew the fire, you know, the embers and what have you, just kept moving, kept going, to destroy an entire city. Okay, now, the victims of these very weird wildfires are going to be receiving $700 from FEMA for food and clothing per family, not per person, per family. $700, what is that going to do when you've lost everything you own? What is that going to do? I just really want to know. And we know that there is a huge mission of a land grab going on over there. I'm going to get to that in a couple of seconds. But $700 per family? That ain't nothing. They need way more than $700. And we know that FEMA is really not our friend. Okay? They really are not. FEMA will come in and they will take your land. That happened in after Katrina in New Orleans. So what's really, really going on? And I really can't imagine what they're going through. My heart and prayers go out to them. It is absolutely horrible. Lahaina was a very historical area of Maui. The museum burned down, the palace burned down, sacred trees were on fire. It's very, very interesting, and it's very sad. And the other part that was wild to me was that many of the celebrity homes, which, you know, were on the coast in another area, but on the island of Maui, were untouched. According to Radar Online, Oprah Winfrey's newly purchased land in Maui could be at stake as several fires were blazing through homes and buildings across the island. Now, that was while the fire was going on. Subsequently, her home is fine. Now, according to AllSides.com and SheFinds.com, earlier this year, Oprah Winfrey put down $6.6 million to obtain four large parcels totaling up to 870 acres in Kula, Maui. okay? Prior to her purchase, she already owned hundreds of acres of land in Kula and Hana, according to Maui. Now, the recent wildfires that devastated the Lahaina area of Maui, Hawaii, brought with it criticism directed towards several celebrities, including Oprah Winfrey, Stevie Nicks, and Paris Hilton, among others, and their responses to the historic tragedy. Winfrey, owner of over thousands of acres of land on Maui, according to Hawaii News Now, was recently seen giving out supplies to survivors who had taken refuge in a gymnasium. The talk show host was reportedly denied entry initially after she asked to bring her television crew with her. The television producer addressed the situation in an Instagram post, saying that her intent to make a generous donation to assist in the island's recovery. However, online commentators were not convinced, criticizing her response and the fact that she owned land on the island. Her visit inside of the shelter on that day was truly heartwarming, and we appreciate her understanding of our policy of having no camera crews or reporters accompanying dignitaries and celebrities in our emergency shelters. In a recent Instagram post, Winfrey vowed to make a substantial donation towards helping the island repair the destruction it suffered. People online were fast to rebuke Winfrey for her reaction and the fact that she holds so much property on the island. Quote, at Oprah, you should give back the 870 acres you purchased on Maui in March of this year for $6.6 million to the native Hawaiians, okay? End quote. One person commented under her IG video as another one wrote, quote, Oprah, you have 1,000 acres. Lahaina is 1,600 acres. You could give up only half your acreage and provide housing for probably all of the displaced residents. There's a simple solution. The land you bought was illegally sold because it is illegally occupied. This is the right thing to restore justice, end quote. Similar criticisms were leveled towards Stevie Nicks after she shared an Instagram post regarding the wildfires and her time spent on the island over the years. Commenters expressed their disappointment with her, with one remarking that, quote, Native Hawaiians have been asking non-Indigenous people to stop relocating and vacationing there, end quote. Paris Hilton, meanwhile, faced backlash after being photographed on a Maui beach over the weekend smiling with her husband, Carter Riem, and their eight-month-old son. This took place just a half an hour away from Lahaina, where 106 fatalities have been reported and people are still missing. Music legend Willie Nelson's sprawling 6,038-square-foot Maui property has not been impacted by the raging Hawaiian fires also. And me personally, in viewing video footage of the wealthiest neighborhood in Maui, there was no fire, no losses, no nothing. Just a lovely neighborhood. Everybody got grass and flowers and stuff. The line up to the property was so exact, it was really spooky. It was very spooky. I know fire does that sometimes. My parents lived in Florida and had to evacuate several times for fear of wildfire. But it was interesting that that entire neighborhood was intact and fine. However, most of the rest of Maui, especially where the natives live, was completely destroyed. And I put natives in quotation marks, because the true original natives were from, the original inhabitants of Hawaii are African, not Asian. King Kamehameha and his wife, Queen Leilani, are the founders and establishers of Hawaii. It is written that whenever King Kamehameha had trouble from invaders from Japan, he would send from African military resources to aid him in his fights and battles. This is written. There's so much that is not mainstream or commonly known. Hawaiian history is deep and African. So just put that, you know, put that to the side. Think about that on your own. But just know that the reason why the people of Hawaii have curly hair and wide noses and catch beautiful tans, you know, Hawaii has been whitewashed for many, many, many years. Okay? But its original inhabitants and the original founders and civilizers of Hawaii are African people. Even Big Duke. Duke was the surfer, the Hawaiian native who brought surfing to California. Big, tall brother. Okay? Very, very dark skin. All right? With African features. And he is the one who exposed America to surfing. Because Hawaiians had been surfing for thousands of years. So just, I always urge you to seek truth and seek knowledge, because there's so much that we don't know. And we can't move through life and move through the world in ignorance. Again, ignorance is never bliss. Ignorance is a sin. So learn what you need to learn. Moving forward. All right. The Trump cases. The Trump cases and the madness behind the Trump cases. Oh, this is wonderful to watch. I'm sorry, but it is. I know we have a lot of people who are melanin dominant and they love themselves from Trump. Sorry, I will never love a man who really hates melanin dominant people. I will never love a man who actually took out a full-page article in New York back in the day against the exonerated five, formerly the Central Park Five, to kill them. I will not love a man who continues to say that melanin-dominant people live in shithole country. I will not especially love a man who is so disrespectful to women. We're talking about a real rapist and, what's the word I want to say? Molester. All I know is that he is shiesty, okay? He's a shiksa, if I use the Jewish word. He is a shiesty shiksa, all right? Anyone who employs Roy Cohn to mold him, make him into a better liar, make him into a misogynistic, egocentric sociopath. I don't know what Kool-Aid y'all drinking, but I don't even drink Kool-Aid no more. But no, 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 no. And everybody that keeps running crying and crying and crying, oh, he won the election. No, he didn't. Okay? And according to the way stuff really goes in America, he lost. Regardless of how many votes y'all think were stolen from him, he lost. If Hillary lost, he lost. If John Kerry lost, he lost. If Al Gore lost, he lost. This is what happens in America. I don't know why y'all don't know that. We've had many, many elections where individuals get the popular vote by millions and they still lose. So suck it up. Someone who doesn't know anything about foreign policy except going to Russia and getting some hoes to pee on him, and then you want to go up Putin's behind as well. Like, you love dictators. You want this to be a dictatorship, and that you got people who will actually receive a check and go out and put on a T-shirt that says niggas for Trump while you say you want to make him a king? Oh, if I was there. So many people actually deserve the most enormous pimp slap. Just a pimp slap, just a pimp slap, real quick, for trying to exonerate this cretin. And anyone who says it's a witch hunt, it is a witch hunt because he's a warlock. He is a witch. He's nasty. Y'all don't know he's nasty? I wish they kept him at the damn Fulton County Jail with the bedbugs. I wish. So his former attorney, Jeffrey Clark, seemed to be having a very difficult time trying to get a flight to Atlanta for some strange reason. I was like, for real? His attorney had the audacity to petition the judge to delay his appearance due to travel issues. Dude, it's Atlanta. Atlanta is one of the most largest hubs, not just for Delta Airlines, but other airlines. Everyone can get to Atlanta. A lot of times for less than $150. You're an attorney. What are you talking about? You're having travel issues. Get your ass on the plane. Next, Mark Meadows states that he still believes that the 2020 election was stolen, even though it's been proven that it really wasn't. But he's also asking that his case be moved to federal court because he was a federal employee and he was carrying out his duties as a federal employee. Check this out, Mark Meadows. You about to get the hat sack on that ass because you were doing political work, which you're not supposed to do as a federal employee. So I don't know if the judge is going to grant this move or not. I know he didn't for others because these requests are completely outlandish. Okay? Most defendants don't ask these ridiculous things of a judge. Okay? They really, really don't. So these people are grabbing straws on their way down. Like they're falling down and grabbing stuff along the way, hoping that they won't hit the ground. Boo-boo, you about to hit the ground. Meanwhile, you have other defendants now flipping on each other. Okay? In the Mar-a-Lago case, you had one lawyer that was representing two clients, which is a serious conflict of interest. At this point, the one client decided, I'm going to get my own lawyer because I don't think this is working out for me. Again, if Trump is paying for your lawyer, then does that lawyer have your best interest at heart or does that lawyer have Trump's interest at heart? So you got Walt Teen Nauta and D. Oliveri on one side, and now you've got the other one, Tavares or something, who's like, check this out. I'm not messing with y'all, okay? They're the ones who are in trouble with regard to the security video that was deleted, destroyed, whatever. And so he's like, I think I need to be on my own. And he is now beginning to turn on Nauta, D. Oliveri, and Trump. So watch that space. More recently, Kenneth Cheeseborough and Sidney Powell have jumped on the request for a speedy trial. Okay, they're on the speedy trial bandwagon. They're like, I want a speedy trial. As they may think that DA Fani Willis may not have enough time to try them. But Mother is ready. She's no joke. Okay? They may also be seeking to distance themselves from Donald Trump. Okay, so I smell some plea deals coming. All right, there are 19 defendants in total, including Donald Trump. Two of them are melanin-dominant people. You have one female, one male. I was like, really? Are we serious right now? There's, let me get her name right. Her last name is Cootie, and then, excuse me, I think the brother's name is Floyd. Now, the brother, this is what happens when you go to class dumb 101. The brother is the only one out of everybody, including Trump, the brother is the only one whose ass is still in jail. Still in jail. Why? Because he had the audacity to also attack an FBI agent. Really? So this is very unattractive for him because he has stated in court that afford a lawyer. He is searching for a lawyer, but they want retainers of $40,000 to $100,000, and he doesn't have that kind of money. No shit, Sherlock. Why'd you take your behind out there assaulting the FBI agent in the first place? What were you thinking? And I find it very interesting that Donald J. Trump is not affording him counsel. Isn't that interesting? Even one of the other white women out of the 19 was very confused because she's like, I don't know why Trump isn't paying for a lawyer for me. Darling, the answer is because he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about anyone except for himself. That should be obvious. I know we're not supposed to judge people by their past. I know people have the potential to repent. People have the potential to improve their lives and change. We are not talking about an individual who's done that. We're talking about the same wild, recluse, overly rich, big mouth, bad haired individual. The same man who raped his own wife and pulled her hair out of her head. The same man who has had multiple wives because you don't care about women. You don't care about women. Again, if you look up the PBS special on Donald Trump, it's very enlightening. Okay? His father was very stern and strict and not full of love at all. His father was another liar, another grab whatever money you can and steal and be racist as well. Don't forget, his father was caught marching in a KKK march in New York City, and he was thrown in jail because he didn't break it up when the police came and told them to break it up. Okay, Fred Trump did that. Fred Trump and Donald Trump were on trial for discrimination against not renting their apartments to melanin dominant or brown people. Don't forget that. I don't forget that. And nothing he has done since that time has proven any level of retribution. Nothing has shown any one of us that, oh, he's a changed man. He's wonderful now. He cares. He's loving. No, I haven't seen it at all. All the way up until right before he was elected, and I didn't vote for him, in 2016, in the interview that he did with Billy Bush, talking about grabbing by the pussy, pardon my expression, you want that running your country? For real? And I don't want to hear anything about Joe Biden right now. I know about Joe Biden. I know about Hunter's laptop. I covered that over a year ago. I covered that. Okay? But he's still in the House. And as long as he doesn't call me a nigga to my face, I think I'm okay. I'll deal with it. The man is so old, he may not make it through his next term. Kamala might become president. Who knows? At this juncture, Donald J. Trump does not represent anything that makes even a piece of sense. Okay? He shouldn't even be running for PTA president, let alone president of the United States. So it's very, very interesting, okay? As of August 24th, 2023, upon his fourth indictment, Trump's newest inmate number is PO1135809 in Fulton County, Georgia jail. And it's heavy. He's trying to look all stern and whatnot in his mugshot. But it's a mugshot to capitalize off of a mugshot. Other than possibly a few rappers. Like, who is capitalizing off of a mugshot? This fool. That night, they got T-shirts, mugs, can holders, and all types of other paraphernalia with his ugly-ass mugshot on him. He's selling this crap on his Truth Social page. As of yesterday, he has raised $7.1 million. So to me, the million-dollar question is he going to share any of this money with any of his 18 co-defendants? And why did he go through a bail bondsman service to post bail? His bail was a measly $200,000. Isn't that chump change for a millionaire? Isn't that just nothing? Isn't that just like, you know, pocket money for a wealthy person? Unwealthy, with his lips all poked out like a fish. I cannot wait until it is revealed that he has lied so much about his finances. That's going to come out through Attorney General Letitia James in New York, because that's that inquiry on his financial dealings, tax evasion, etc. And how dare a millionaire beg his supporters for money? He is such a cad. Seriously. He's so disillusioned that as a result of the first GOP debate, which was held last Wednesday, he's going to talk about he won the debate. He wasn't even there. He was not even there. Family, we do not need a neurotic, psychotic sociopath in the White House. We really don't. We can't afford it. The world is laughing its ass off at us just at the fact that this is being entertained. Now, I do know that there is a propensity for him to be disqualified from running. Please let that day come, Lord. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Please let that happen so everybody will just shut their ass up, take the T-shirt off, and go sit down. I'm done. This is so insane to me. Like, a real adult looking at this situation, I mean a real adult, not a sycophant, not a fan, not a worshiper, just a real adult can look at this whole thing and see just how insane it is. And did you see the debate last week? Did you see how ridiculous, absurd, and banal it was? Now, if you ask me to review it, I will. I thought that Nikki Haley was the best on the stage, even though she raised her hand when they asked who would still support. Now, this is some dumb stuff right here. Stay with me. How do you ask people who are running for president if they will still support Donald Trump if he's the nominee to run for president? What? Who does that? Two. Only two people said no. Chris Christie and Asa Hutchinson. They had the most sense as far as I was concerned, just in terms of a Republican ideology. I do not align myself with the Republican Party at all because I feel like they have become a party of neurotic and psychotic individuals. I feel like they're lacking intelligence, reality, and they have a propensity to be a bit racist as well. We don't have time for that. In any event, I thought DeSantis was stupid. He kept yelling all the time. He definitely doesn't qualify. I still don't understand how he became the governor of Florida. And if you're from Florida and you're listening, you need to get his behind out of office. And you can't vote for him for president. Please, if you're listening. We cannot have Ron DeSantis, who wants to be DeSantis when it's DeSantis because he's Latino, but he doesn't want to have any affiliation with that, and he wants to make sure what he starts to the border that he will shoot immigrants who are trying to come across our southern border. He wants to use our U.S. military to shoot people coming across the border. Number one, again, doesn't know the law, doesn't understand or know, you cannot use the U.S. military on U.S. soil to do things against anyone. You're not allowed to do that. That could be National Guard, but it can't be the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines. No. So, but he's dumb and doesn't know that. I know that, but he doesn't know that in any event. Chris Christie, Humpty Dumpty, was, I thought he was pretty good because he's the only voice that is willing to put a foot in Trump's behind. He seems to be a lone voice, although Pence is starting to come up, okay? Mike Pence is starting to come up and say how wrong everything was around January 6th. Of course, because your boss incited a riot of mongrels who began to chant, "Hang Mike Pence." So, yeah, I would imagine you might be against that. I'm glad that you spoke on it. But really, because in the beginning, he was cream of wheat about it. He was all mushy mush, like, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay that your boss tried to incite people to hang you on the Capitol lawn. In any event, he's starting to get his balls back. That's interesting. Then you had the one who I cannot stand. I cannot stand Vivek Ramaswamy. I am sorry. I have only had but a few instances to listen to him, to watch him, and to observe him. He's an asshole. Pardon my vernacular. Something's wrong with him. And I'm going to say it right now. We do not need an Indian caste person in the White House. You're bringing that to America, and that is not America. We have enough to deal with racial disharmony and discrimination. I do not need a brown Indian in the White House talking shit about black people. I don't need it, okay? We can't afford that. He's out of touch. And as Nikki Haley said so eloquently, he has no knowledge of foreign policy, and it shows. We're talking about someone who wants to concede land in America to Putin. We're talking about someone who wants to get out of the Ukrainian war, which I have mixed feelings about. But we're talking about someone who doesn't want to see people based on race. But that's what we are at this point. Yes, we are humanity. You know how far away we are from a kumbaya, that we're all just one people? Check this out, Vivek. We're really not. Our cultural differences are what make us unique and special. Don't throw me into a pot of stew where I have no identity anymore, because I know your ass is Indian. I'm the skinny guy with the funny name. No, no, no. The skinny guy with the funny name was Barack Obama, and you are no Barack Obama. So let that go. Okay? You're a billionaire who wants to run the country, and you have no experience, no knowledge, and no nothing. And you do not even care about everybody in this nation. You don't care about everybody because you want to kiss the big white man's ass. So you will not get a pass. And he was so obnoxious and annoying. As Joy Reid put it, he was very much like your freshman college annoying-ass roommate. And they tried to say, after it was over the next day, that Ramaswamy and DeSantis won the debate. H-E double hockey sticks, no. There's no way that they won the debate. Nikki Haley won the debate. To me, after Nikki Haley, you got Pence, then you got Christie, then you got Hutchinson. The other guy all the way on the right, I don't know if his name is Gruber, whatever. I don't know who that is, and he's another wealthy white man that just wants to run the country. I am sick and tired of people attempting to occupy the office of President of the United States without any political experience. That makes no sense to me, and we should have learned that with the last one that we had. We should have learned that when Donald Trump came into office. No political experience. Can you at least go through the ranks just a bit? Maybe if you're a councilman in your town or you're a mayor. You know, Buttigieg was a mayor. Okay, if you can, you know, be a congressperson, assembly person, okay, a senator, do something before you decide to put the big drawers of president on, because you don't know what it takes. I might even take someone who was in the armed forces over a billionaire with lots of money with no knowledge of how our armed forces work and how our government actually works. So I'm like, GOP, y'all need help. You need help. You're in trouble. And Tim Scott, who I didn't even mention, yeah, that's why I didn't mention him. He is unmentionable. I don't know about this one either. This is a brother. You're supposed to be a brother. What are you doing? And you don't want to see color, and you have the audacity to say that America does not have a racism problem. Really? Check the news, pumpkin, because you just had a little fat girl looking white boy that just went and shot up people in the Dollar General in Florida solely based on race. Swastikas on the side of the AR-15 and everything. We don't have a racial problem in America. Where are you? So you're stupid. You don't make any sense. You can't even answer a question. An elderly white man asked him a question in a diner asking him, how come you didn't stand up to Trump? If you can't stand up to Trump, how are you going to stand up to China? Ding, ding, ding. I was like, go ahead. And he couldn't even answer properly. He's like, well, you know, no, 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 boo-boo. Go sit down. America need help. We need help. Well, this isn't last. I think this is second to last. But anyway, the real elephant in the room, honey. Drum roll. Brrr. Effective January 1st, 2024. BRICS. BRICS is Great Britain, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. They have invited the Argentine Republic, the Arab Republic of Egypt, the Federal Democratic Republic of Ethiopia, the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates to become full members of BRICS in January. You do know that that spells doom for America's economic power in the world. The other huge elephant in the room is the European oil pipeline that was built without permission in several African countries, and it ends up going through Niger. It's going to come up through North Africa, but Niger is like, no. The whole pipeline was designed to come up from North Central Africa to go under the Mediterranean Sea into Europe. However, like I said, Niger is not having it. They have stated that Europe will no longer participate in giving minerals and oil to Europe without compensation. Other African nations, many, are also stating that they will no longer allow Europe to take their minerals, oil, or any other goods from them without compensation. Now, apparently the pipeline was blown up. And immediately Russia was blamed, which is weird to me because Russia has been coming to the aid of Africa, another story, but it was actually the U.S. The U.S. blew up the pipeline. Mic drop. Europe was pissed. And now Europe has been struggling for power because, remember, Vladimir Putin cut off the gas. America likes to say, oh, we're no longer taking gas from Russia. No, Putin cut that off, which is why power bills increased significantly in Europe, all throughout Europe. All right, so winter is going to be a little rough because they need the gas for heat and for energy, and they don't know where it's going to come from. Okay, and this is why, again, I say no one is discussing this in the mainstream media. No one, not a peep. I don't hear this anywhere. Okay, and I've been getting this information through different outlets on social media and online. So when I'm watching a press conference of different African dignitaries and heads of state, and they're saying, we will no longer give Europe any more of our goods and minerals and services without compensation. You know what compensation is? That's money, honey. Because they've been robbing Africa for centuries. France has such a stronghold, chokehold even, on Africa and different African nations. Mind you, I also just got to say tidbit-wise, before the invasion of colonization, Alkebulon was one nation. When Europe invaded Alkebulon and divided it and split it up into different territories and named them different countries, that is the disunification of Africa. They then stipulated that Africans couldn't even travel intercontinentally. What? So if I'm a Nigerian, I can't go to Ghana. If I'm a Zimbabwean, I can't go to Kenya, which is why so many leaders are now dispelling the necessity for a visa, and they are allowing intercontinental travel throughout Africa. Of course, Europe does not like this. So I am watching this space. The truth is stranger than fiction sometimes. By Africa uniting and BRICS getting larger, it doesn't smell good for America. It doesn't smell good for our economy. And I'm not wishing negativity on our economy, but I'm just saying, excuse me, if BRICS changes their currency to the Chinese yuan, we're done. Okay? Done. Done for. Finish. All right? Now, excuse me. It's interesting what they want us to be preoccupied with, because they want us to be preoccupied with Donald Trump's indictments, Hunter Biden's laptop, COVID, you know, all of that. They want racism. They want us to be caught up in all of that. And the discussion of an upcoming race war is also being thrown around. But that's really tired. I'm like, anybody got time for that? You know? But this is deep. Check this out. This is the last thing I'm going to talk about. I recently viewed a post on Instagram where a young melanin-dominant girl was asked if she would ever marry a white man. And I loved her answer. And I'm not being discriminatory against anyone, but she clearly and plainly stated that she would want to marry a black man because she wanted to preserve her bloodline. So folks in the comment section went absolutely wild saying that she was being racist and, you know, racism is da-da-da-da-da and all this kind of crap. And I was like, really? So, you know, I had to chime in. So I plainly stated that, you know, no, melanin-dominant people can't be racist. No, not yet. Okay, we're not there yet. Why? Because racism is a construct that was created by white men to keep melanin-dominant people from gaining any power economically or in any other way in this country and in the world. So from education, banking, financing, and lending, the law, politics, healthcare, entertainment, sex, labor, and war, these are the areas of people activity where racism rules. Melanin-dominant people have no control over any of these areas. We may be involved in them, but we don't control them. I have no say over who can get a loan at the bank. I have no say when it comes to gerrymandering and urban renewal, which destroys neighborhoods. I have no say in that. We don't make that happen. So I had to really make it clear what racism was and what being prejudiced was. Because, yeah, we could be prejudiced and we could be bigots, but we can't be how you use your words. Now, I'm sure I'm going to get a little kickback from what I said. But I truly seek to educate the ignorant family, all right? I'm not afraid. Obviously, I've been doing this show now for several years. This is episode 123. So I'm not afraid because I know that the truth shall make you free. And you may not like it, but the truth is the truth. And there's only one truth. So in saying all that, excuse me, white people seem to be race baiting. They seem to be, and this girl was like maybe 15 years old. She was young. She was nowhere near marriage age, okay? We're not talking about a grown person. But I said the same thing when I was a young girl. I was like, I want to marry a black man. Period, point blank, the end. I don't dislike white people. I don't hate white people. It has nothing to do with white, Asian, or any other individual. I want to marry myself. And I was so impressed that she loved herself and her people so much that she definitively said, I want to marry a black man. So I thought that was brilliant. You know, the people, some of the people on the comment section were really stupid and just saying the most banal things about this young lady's statement. But I feel like, number one, she was race baited into saying that. And How many white people have been saying this for centuries? How many white people want to talk about how they can't mix their blood with other people and they can't mix their blood with black people because one drop of black blood makes you black, which is interesting because then it would make us a real majority in the nation. Just saying. They call you a minority, but you're not. So I'll never call myself a minority. I know ain't nothing minor about me. There's nothing minor about us. There's nothing minor about the progenitors of humanity on this planet. Nothing. And the world is a majority of melanated people, melanin-dominant people specifically. And the reason why I kept saying melanin-dominant through most of this broadcast is because, excuse me, there's a more on Instagram, shout out to the Real Kush Day. And it was in The Color of Law. And this is a book that I'm saving to get. But in the book, The Color of Law, it states that to be black, African-American, Hispanic, any of those things means that you're dead in the eyes of the law. The only quote-unquote color recognized in law is white. Not as in white skin. White is a status. So they tricked us yet again, and I've talked about this before. They tricked us into making us say we're black, we're black, we're black, when our status is really white because we are the original human. Every human comes from us, and white is the last. So in actuality, the white people are black. And the quote-unquote so-called black people are white in the color of law. Look that up when you get a moment. So I'm trying to change my tongue a little bit. You know, I was raised on black is beautiful, blah, 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 you know. But I am using the term melanin dominant specifically in this broadcast to express who we really are. And that we are indigenous to this earth and we have real inalienable rights. So look that up when you get a chance. Again, I always say, you know, mama, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power and power is freedom. All right. Try to get some when you can. I thank you all for being with me tonight. I got like 40 seconds left. Be the best that you can be. Be a beautiful human being. I thank you all so much for being with me, truly, 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 for supporting the show. Some of you have given me donations. I appreciate your donations. Anyone want to give me a donation, I'll take it. It's QREIGN on Cash App. So it's the, you know, money sign, dollar sign, and then QREIGN. I thank you. I thank Dr. James Winborn for allowing me this platform. Please go forth in the world and be a beautiful human being. Love each other. Protect the babies. Watch out for the elderly. All right? And always seek love and light. Love you, fam. Thank you. Peace. I also got to just share real quick, if you need some good music in your life, please go to SoundCloud.com and listen to DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL. Get your life. Listen to some beautiful music. It'll make you feel so fantastic, okay? Also, look out for us, Frequency 101 headphone events and Just Sounds. We might be coming to a state by you soon, all right? Love you, fam. Thank you. Peace and love.
crush the heart.